I like a good adventure.
I'm looking for an adventure of my own.
Welcome to the official Plugged In podcast. I'm Bob Smithhauser. Adventures do come in various sizes, though the bad guys don't get much bigger than the ones in Jack the Giant Slayer. So how big should viewers be before seeing this PG-13 twist on a classic fairy tale? For that, we will turn to our own Bob Walczewski.
Hey, Bob.
Of course, Bob, or B-Dub as he's known around here, is the voice of the weekly Plugged In movie review radio feature. He's also our boss, and when I say our, I'm referring to the gentleman seated to my right, Paul Acey. Hey, Paul.
Hey, I guess I have to sort of suck up today, huh?
Yeah, the boss is here. And as the department's resident television expert, Paul's here to discuss one of the more unique and bizarre Disney Channel shows to come along in a while.
Yeah, and it's actually one of the more popular. It's called Gravity Falls.
Yeah, you know, I watched a few episodes after my son expressed interest in Gravity Falls, so I have some feelings about that one myself. Also coming up, we have culture clips, listener mail, and a special announcement, so stay with us. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Cedarville University, celebrating 125 years of inspiring greatness. Cedarville University is a Christ-centered learning community recognized nationally for rigorous academics. To learn more, visit cedarville.edu.
And now, here's a little something we like to call Culture Clips.
Our first headline comes from the state of Massachusetts. B-Dub, what's up?
Oh, boy. There is a 9-year-old rapper who goes by the moniker Lil Poopy. Yes, oh. I kid you not. I'm sure he's going to hate that when he gets older. I wish he'd hate that even right now. And we always strike a balance in Plugged In of trying to bring something so obscure that no one's ever heard about it. And by bringing it to light, we actually give a little bit more publicity. I feared that with Lil Poopy when I first heard about it, but he's already received 566,000 views on YouTube and growing, highlighted in CNN, and he's kind of the story of the week this week, and I think we need to talk about it.
Well, beyond the name, what exactly is the challenge here?
Essentially, he is a thug posturing gangster rap all of the age of 9. He sings, Coke ain't a bad word, ha ha ha. I'm talking about Coca-Cola, but we all know what he's really talking about. In the video, he slaps a grown woman many, many times on the rear end. He sings such lyrics as, I be in the club, the girls love me, Ben Franklin in my pocket, favorite color green. The typical gangster rap things, you know, the emphasis on money, that I'm the best, the braggadocio that we've seen over and over again. And sadly, for a couple reasons, this is newsworthy. Number one, where are the parents? You know, where is dad? Apparently, dad loves this. We even have the lawyer to this kid talking about free speech. That's really a free speech issue. He went on to say, I wish my kids were that talented. Boy, I'd let them go out and rap like that too. And I want to say, okay, I understand free speech, but there's something about healthy parenting. And quite frankly, in my opinion, this is really child abuse. Lil Poopy did not come up with this on his own. He's being fashioned by his handlers, more specifically by his dad, to be in the limelight. Hey, he's got his 15 minutes of fame, but where's that kid going to be when he turns 16, 17, 18?
Yeah, I fear from the sound of things, the Massachusetts child welfare authorities are looking into this. No charges have been filed, but they are investigating it.
Yes.
On the lighter side, Paul, you want to tell us about a TV program dividing the people of Norway.
Yeah, you might say they're being split on the issue. What we're talking about is actually a program called National Firewood Night that aired on the main Norwegian channel. I think it's called NRK. And the show was a special that ran for 12 hours. 12 hours. And essentially all it was people cutting, stacking, and burning firewood. A million people watched this thing. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot in American numbers, but Norway only has 5 million people, which means that 20% of the country.
So what's so controversial about this?
Well, here's the thing. They started getting these texts and emails, the station, where a lot of people were really upset with how they were stacking the firewood. They were upset that sometimes the bark was turned up Sometimes it was turned down. It was sort of crazy. There's a guy who wrote a best-selling book, actually, on firewood, a Norwegian best-selling book, and he said, there's nothing that divides the country of Norway more than firewood. So really interesting stuff. It's a little bit crazy, but kind of interesting.
Now, what is the point?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know,
I'm looking for the takeaway for moms and dads. I mean, is it that they've got their controversies and we've got ours?
Yeah, I think that really is it. I mean, we deal with a lot of controversies here. In some ways, Plugged In is all about the controversies that we sometimes talk about in the world of entertainment. You just talked about one with Little Poopy, you know, and you see that in Norway, firewood is such a part of the culture. People are naturally going to get sort of bent out of shape if they perceive it wrong. They get passionate about it. And I think that in a way, we should sort of take an example and not apologize for being passionate about what we look at here in the entertainment culture.
That's right.
Because these are important issues for us.
We're dealing with 2.5 men or that kind of thing. We're talking about moral issues.
Yeah,
it's not
absolutely
a matter of whether the bark is upside down.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. Look for stories like these in Plugged In's weekly Culture Clips report delivered straight to you when you subscribe to the free Plugged In e-newsletter. Signing up is easier than teaching your teenager to drive.
Red light!
If you're not already a subscriber, you can become one the next time you visit our homepage, PluggedIn.com.
Fee, fi, fo, fum. Ask not whence the thunder comes. For between heaven and earth is a perilous place. Home to a fearsome giant race.
Toss in a princess, a handful of magic beans, and a courageous farm boy, and before you know it, those colossal brutes in size 146 Birkenstocks are invading our world to settle a score with mankind. Bob, what can you tell us about the PG-13 fantasy adventure Jack the Giant Slayer?
Well, first off, our listeners need to think the remake of Jack and the Beanstalk. Some similarities, a lot of differences. There's no golden goose here laying golden eggs or a singing harp, and no single giant. But Jack sells a horse, and he ends up getting a down payment with a bunch of beans. And the monk that sold it said, please don't get these beans wet. And of course, you know he's going to get one of them wet. Kind of happens accidentally. Ascends his house, which a beautiful princess happens to be in, soaring up into sky-high giant land. Of course, the king wants his daughter back, a rescue mission ensues, and Jack, even though he's afraid of heights, volunteers to go. And when he gets up there, we find out, or he may have already known, but we find out that these giants, their happy meal, if you will, would be humans. They have a taste for it. And it's an interesting, creative retelling of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Paul, you wrote the online review for this one. How did it work for you?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a mixed bag for me, to tell you the truth. I think that it was a creative, kind of fun story. The giants looked really cool, sort of ominous. The whole project feels a little bit uneven to me, and I know we're going to be talking a little bit about that later on. I think that it was just sort of, it just sort of left me a little bit cold.
Okay. Well, an article in Entertainment Weekly last week raised an interesting question. I wanted to bring it to you guys. It said that this film could face a challenge because people aren't really sure who it's targeting. One industry insider was quoted as follows. Is this a family movie in the vein of Chronicles of Narnia, or is this an adult-oriented fantasy action? In order to be successful, it needs to very clearly identify itself. End quote. So, who's the intended audience for Jack, and is it appropriate for that audience?
Well, I think teens are the intended audience, and I would say that for teens, it's probably okay, because again, we're not talking sensuality here, language issues. The violence is the issue, and I think most teens, especially 14 on up, can probably handle the violence. Now, is it, like Paul said, is it a great film? Is it, man, you've just got to go see it? No, it isn't that kind of film either. But sometimes teens just kind of want to do something on the weekend. And I don't think if I was a parent of teens again, I wouldn't have a great problem if my kids came home and said, can we go see?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when I look at that Entertainment Weekly quote, I think that hit it right on the nail for me. Because when I watched the show, I felt a little bit, I don't even think the filmmakers necessarily knew what they were trying to say, because in some ways you have a lot of really great messages of heroism and bravery and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of the characters feel like they're pulled right from a fairy tale, and it has sort of this light feel, but the violence in it is so extreme in some ways. And granted, it's sort of
but
a
not
CGI.
Gory.
No,
yeah,
no.
When the giants pick up a human and they're bringing that human to their mouth, you know what's about to happen. Fortunately, the camera doesn't go there; it leaves it up to your imagination, or a scene afterwards where you might see a partial remains of a human to go, oh, God, what happened there?
Yeah, but it felt intense for a fairy tale intended for kids.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you wouldn't want to take your 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, no.
Did you guys see this one in 3D, and is there
I
any
did.
Advantage
Yeah, we
there
both
for,
did. We were both did. In the same theater.
Yeah, we did, and I didn't see any difference. I mean, I think that a lot of times when you see these 3D movies, there's once every 2 or 3 years that's really worth 3D. This is not one.
There was
one
scene involving a beehive where the bees come at you that was a little kind of interesting in 3D. Other than that, 2D would have been fine.
Very good. And now we move from the big screen to the small screen.
My name is Dipper. The girl about to puke is my sister Mabel. You may be wondering what we're doing in a golf cart, fleeing from a creature of unimaginable horror.
The Disney Channel is often accused of fueling its tween machine with formulaic sitcoms starring pretty girls eager to launch music careers on the side. So if nothing else, we have to give Disney credit for thinking outside the box with the animated series Gravity Falls. But as clever as it can be at times, parents may feel it's too far outside the box, at least for children. That's my take anyway. How about you, Paul?
I have the exact same take, actually, because this is a very clever show in many ways, but it feels like it's more of a Cartoon Network type of show.
Yeah, Nickelodeon. I felt the same
way.
You
know, it feels like it has an edge that you don't typically see on Disney. What we have here is a story about two kids, identical twins, actually. Well, not identical, but they're twins. Mabel and Dipper Pines, and they come to live in this area called Gravity Falls with their grunkle. He's their great uncle, Stan, who runs this sort of sideshow type of attraction. And it has all sorts of the weirdest, little, goofiest, bad attraction type of things. It's sort of a P.T. Barnum type sideshow thing, you know, where you have jackalopes there and just these weird things.
Deep in the forests of Oregon.
Yep, that's exactly right. Meanwhile, while you have all this weird stuff that's fake, completely fake within Grunkle Stan's little sideshow here, really weird things are taking place outside in the forest. You have, you know, these supernatural things. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some
Bigfoot shows up.
Or some giants, you know, just going back to what we were talking about before.
Well, in this clip, we are introduced to greedy Uncle Stan, a huckster with a home business.
Our uncle had transformed his house into a tourist trap he called the Mystery Shack. The real mystery was why anyone came.
What? What the heck do you think you're doing?
Business! Ching, ching, ching.
Listen, kid, you don't make money by giving stuff away. You're off of register duty.
But.
No buts except yours out the door. Now shut your yap and get to work.
Uncle Stan, why do I have to wear this wolf costume? I think I'm getting hookworm.
Yeah, gluing dog hair to your body will do that.
You have all these dumb, fake exhibits in the shack. Meanwhile, I've seen actual amazing things in the forest every day. What if you hunted down a real attraction instead of lying to people for a living?
And that, Paul, really is the central conceit of the entire series, spelled out there for young viewers.
That's absolutely right. I mean, when you say that Grunkle Stan is a huckster, that's really what he is. And he is not a very nice person at all. You know, he still loves his kids, and you see that love come out occasionally. But for the most part, he's about cheating tourists out of their hard-earned cash. And so you have Dipper, who really wants to have adventures and go off into the forest and see what he can see.
Yeah, and these are kind of Scooby-Doo-esque adventures, but the creatures are real, and unfortunately, so is the cynicism and the crass humor.
Yeah.
And we got, from that clip, a sense of the show's attitude, kind of almost a SpongeBob type of a sensibility to it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to describe it. And I think that the thing about Disney, or at least what I'm used to seeing on Disney, for good or ill, is that they really are gentle, and they really do try to put their best foot forward. These are shows that parents can feel good about their kids watching, and maybe even learn a little something from. You don't get that sense from Gravity Falls. There's really no messages here that kids can take away. There's not even any really good role models that they can find. It's fun, but it is crass, and you do have some problematic characterizations that you have to deal with.
Well, and there are a few sweet moments about family unity here and there, the brother and the sister looking out for each other and that sort of thing. Let's talk about a few of the episodes we previewed and what we ran into.
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of jump on kind of what you were saying there as far as this family unity and some of the very minuscule positive messages that we can get and sort of how this show sort of deals with them. Grunkle Stan at one point goes to a game show where he wins just scads and scads and scads of money. He bets it all on one final question, and that final question is, the game show host asks him, what is a six-letter word that typically you use to get something that you want or you need, something that is sometimes referred to as a magic word? He says, gimme. With two E's at the end instead of please. And so he learns that really please can get you what you want. And so it's sort of one of these little cynical throwaway jokes that you have that convey a little bit of a message, but in a very strange sort of way.
Well, an episode that concerned me involves teens breaking into what turns out to be a haunted convenience store. And boy, there's levitation and possession. And the whole episode is structured like a slasher flick where teens die, in quotes, bizarrely one at a time. Now, they come back at the end, though we have no way of knowing that's going to happen. And I have to confess, Paul, I was into horror films as a teenager before I knew better. And if I'd watched this Gravity Falls episode when I was 10 or 11, it easily could have created a taste for that stuff and sped up the process.
Oh, sure, sure. And that's the thing about the show. I mean, it's edgy. You have some definite references that seem meant more for parents than for kids, really. And in its own, you know, reasonably innocent way, it can lead these kids into areas that you don't necessarily want them to go into.
Well, I love the overall concept. Mm-hmm. And handled differently, this, I don't know, it could have been a smart, mysteriously creepy compliment to Phineas and Ferb, but it's just too grim and too crass.
Yeah, yeah. I think Phineas and Ferb is still really kind of the gold standard for Disney cartoons.
All right. Thanks, Paul. As promised, now we're going to check our inbox and see what's on your mind.
Stand by. Mail loading.
Today's question comes from Greg Cheney of Little Rock, Arkansas. This is a good one, guys, because you know, it deals with a common misconception that we really should talk about. Greg wants to know, is it possible to make bad media choices and still be a Christian?
It absolutely is, because I can testify I was one of those. I became a Christian at age 15, and God changed a lot of bad habits, I put it that way, in my life right off the bat. But one of them he didn't get around to changing, because I didn't even know he cared that much, was my media decisions. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s, I was a youth pastor at the time, and a kid in my youth group gave me a cassette tape. I listened to the tape, and it was a guy saying, hey, God cares about your media choices, and guess what? It changed
your life.
So it did. And so, yes, it is possible to be even an on-fire Christian and sometimes not even realize that God cares that much about that area.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing to deal with, I think, in the realm that we are in, because I think we all believe that this stuff is important and that God does care what we're watching. But to say that something is problematic is a lot different than saying, well, this could endanger your salvation. I mean, we're not in any position to judge anybody's soul or anybody relationship with God. I think that for me, one of the things that I sort of think about this in the realm of is sort of like how we deal with our own kids. You know, we love our kids no matter what they do. Our kids, because they love us, oftentimes they want to do what we would approve of. And I think that that's sort of how I kind of look at this issue.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the Bible's clear in verses such as Ephesians 2:9 that what makes a person a Christian isn't about our efforts. It's all about what Jesus did for us when first he left heaven for earth, lived a sinless life, died as a sacrifice for our sin, which we were born into as human beings, and then he conquered death by rising from the grave. And when we embrace that gift, we become Christians. And just as there's nothing we can do to earn God's favor before accepting the gift, unhealthy media habits aren't going to rob us of it afterwards.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes a question like that may have another meaning that we need to just briefly touch on, and that is, can I use this as an excuse to listen to and watch whatever I want to? Because if you tell me I can, and that being a Christian really doesn't have that much to do with my media choices, therefore it gives me license. And we're not saying that either. We're still saying we serve a holy God, God who cares very much about sin, and certain entertainment choices can be sinful. So we want to serve a holy God in a holy way. So we still need to make right and wise decisions in all areas of our life, including media.
Yeah, this isn't a perfect analogy, but I like to think of the protective hedges that we build, you know, for entertainment as more of dietary choices for a holier, healthier life. Can a Christian smoke 3 packs a day or live on nothing but bacon double cheeseburgers?
They could.
Well, sure, I wouldn't advise it. They may not live that long.
Yeah, 40, to age 40.
there's going to be consequences. So if we belong to Jesus, he has a right to influence what we consume. Well, thanks for the question, Greg. It's an important one, and we're glad you asked it. So glad, in fact, that we have a little something for you. Because we shared your letter on the podcast, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Olszewski's book, Plugged In Parenting. It'll give you some things to pray about as you consider healthy, godly boundaries for entertainment. And if you'd like to hear Bob talk about that book with Focus on the Family President Jim Daly, check out episode number 183 of this podcast, titled, quite simply, Plugged In Parenting. Friends, if you have a question or comment about media or pop culture, drop us a note, won't you? It's easy to do. Just visit PluggedIn.com and click Contact Us. Put the word podcast in the subject line and be sure to include your full name and mailing address so that we can send you something from our prize vault if your thoughts make it on the program. In fact, we have a couple Disney movies on Blu-ray we'll be giving away in the weeks to come. One could be yours, so let us know what's on your mind.
It is always great to get mail.
Well, usually. As we close the book on another official Plugged In podcast, we have a special announcement to make, Paul.
We're not firing me, are we?
No. Each year, the National Religious Broadcasters, also known as NRB, hosts a convention with exhibitors and speakers and musicians and so on, and awards are part of that. Well, it was held earlier this week in Nashville, Tennessee, and PluggedIn.com received the award for Best Ministry Website. That's quite an honor.
That is an honor, and we are so proud of this entire team helping making it happen, and especially Mr. Steve Isaac. I want to give a shout out to him for being webmaster extraordinaire.
Yeah, sometimes I don't like his edits, but he's very good at what he does.
Well, this seemed like as good a forum as any to thank the folks at NRB. So on behalf of the entire team, we sure are grateful for the recognition. Thank you. And while we're in appreciation mode, Paul, Bob, thanks for being here.
Great to be on the show.
Also to our engineer, Dave Salkeld, the folks at Cedarville University, and to you for tuning in. Hey, if you or your family like popping in a live worship CD, we've got a good one for you. It's called No One Higher, and this compilation includes several tunes by a fellow named Chris Cawley. One of his songs is going to serve as our last word today, God is for us.
And that is a good last word.
Indeed it is. Have a terrific week. We'll be back again next Thursday for a look at a prequel nearly 75 years in the making, Oz the Great and Powerful. And if all goes as planned, we'll also have a special guest. In the meantime, keep trimming those protective hedges, because it's not just entertainment.
The official Plugged In podcast is a production of PluggedIn.com and Focus on the Family.
You give us more than we deserve. You are unfailing.